You know, it's a simple question with an infinitely complicated answer. What happens if Iran is able to build a nuclear weapon? Over the past week, there's been rising concern over whether Iran will join the ranks of nuclear powers. There is arguably a reason for the concern. Russia's nuclear power company will send low-enriched uranium to Iran in coming days. The Russian delivery will allow Iran to start its first atomic power plant. Here's Hans Blix, the former chief of the International Atomic Energy Agency, speaking about Iran on The Takeaway yesterday.
We don't know whether they really want to go for weapons. That has been the assumption, and there are many reasons why one can suspect it. They say themselves, on the other hand, that they want only to produce fuel for the reactors.
Whether Iran wants a weapon or not, concerns over the status of the Iranian nuclear program may be somewhat premature. Joining us to discuss the situation is David Sanger. He's the chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, and the author of The Inheritance, The World Obama Confronts and the Challenges to American Power. He's just co-written an exclusive article on Iran's nuclear program. It's in The New York Times today. Check it out. It's a good piece. David, good to have you back with us on the program. A year. How do we know this?
Well, what we're discussing here, Miles, is something that American officials call dash time. And this concept is a concept of how long would it take Iran if it decided, say, tomorrow morning that it actually wanted to dash for a weapon to get there. And that's based on both a mix of some intelligence and some calculations about what they would be required to do. And the American calculation has been, you know, it's going to take them a little while. They have this low-enriched uranium, but you can't use that in a bomb. You need to turn it into higher-enriched uranium. And to do that, you need to reconfigure your facilities. So if we really know where their facilities are, and if, in other words, the inspectors who go in and out of these facilities are correct and they've seen everything, then the American calculation is it would take at least a year for them to reconfigure this equipment to be able to make that fuel. Now, the Israelis have always had a different view. They've always said, first of all, we don't know where all the facilities are, and secondly, it may only take them a number of months. I think over the past few months, what appears to have happened is that the U.S. has convinced the Israelis that it would actually take the Iranians longer than they think, that the Iranians have run into technical troubles. And, of course, there's been this long sabotage operation we've discussed on the program before to slow the Iranian progress.
What are the chances, David, that we don't know where all the facilities are? There's always been this talk about a hidden facility somewhere. Do we discount that?
No, you can't discount that. I mean, remember, it was only last September that President Obama, along with President Sarkozy of France and Gordon Brown, who was then the Prime Minister of Britain, stood up at that summit in Pittsburgh and announced that the U.S. had discovered a hidden facility. The Israelis also played a big role in that. And the Iranians, realizing this announcement was coming, had sent a letter just a few days before to the international inspector saying, oh, by the way, there's this one other place we've never let you see that's under a mountain on a military base that we intend to make an enrichment center. The difference is that its cover was blown before they actually had a chance to put in much equipment. And the American officials we've talked to believe that so far they haven't really recovered from that and gotten it together to build another one of those.
Hey, you know, given all of this, why does Russia want to be delivering uranium to Iran now, especially given that they've supported a fourth set of sanctions?
Yeah, it's a very good question, Kathleen, and the answer is that there are sort of two separate programs underway in Iran. One is the program we're worried about, which is their enrichment of uranium for a group of facilities that they don't yet have. Now, for years, more than 20 years, they have been building two nuclear power plants at a place called Bushehr. It's gone very slowly. The Iraqis bombed it during the Iran-Iraq War. It's gone through many other ups and downs. But basically, the agreement that the Russians reached in the end, and the Russians are building a good deal of this for them, is that they deliver the fuel, it's put in this reactor, which is clearly made to produce electricity, and at the end of the process, the spent fuel is taken back to Russia. Now, you could say, well, what if the Iranians don't give it back?
Right.
And the answer to that is right now we don't believe that they have the facilities to convert that spent fuel to plutonium, which is one way to get to a bomb.
I guess the good news in all of this...
the way the North Koreans have built a bomb, by the way.
If there's good news in all this, it's not easy to build bombs. I guess that is one good thing. Now, President Obama, the military option remains on the table, as they say, but is pushing for sanctions. Do we have any sense that the sanctions are doing anything at all?
You know, for the first time, we believe that some of these sanctions are beginning to work. This is anecdotal reporting, but the anecdotes seem to indicate that the Iranians were able to bring in about half as much gasoline as they normally import. They can't refine very much gasoline themselves. And so they've been having a hard time doing that. They've been having a hard time refueling some of their airplanes at airports in Europe. They've had a hard time bringing their ships into some ports for cargo ships because they can't get the shipping insurance. Is any of this going to stop them from building a bomb? No, I don't think so. Hmm. Could it make their life miserable and make them think more about the cost? It may well.
All right. Final quick question from you this morning. Your paper reporting that Israel and the Palestinians are going to return to direct negotiations for the first time in nearly 2 years. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton expected to make that announcement later today. Put that one into some perspective for us.
You know, it's been a long time coming. President Obama wanted to get direct talks going almost as soon as he came into office. Here we are 20 months into office before that's begun, and they put a year's time limit on it. So, you know, might work, but seems unlikely. And I think at this point, everybody's expectations, particularly the White House, have been dialed back.
David Sanger is the chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, and a friend of The Takeaway. Thank you for your time.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.